Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Good morning. Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, our weekend radio show. Get a lot of comments on the radio show. Appreciate it. We could even get more. We've got some really blockbuster segments starting right now. And the first segment deals, interestingly enough, with guess who, and this is all documented, by the way. Jimmy's going to talk a little bit about what the FBI has been doing of late with the Bank of America. Jimmy, you're on.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of information that came out. The Bank of America information is one piece of it. But yesterday, Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, two days ago, because this is the weekend show, with the House Oversight Committee on Weaponization of Government, they interviewed Christopher Wray. The director acknowledged in that briefing that the FBI had requested from the Bank of America individual credit card information for everyone that had been in Washington, D.C. on January 5th, 6th, and 7th, I believe. Anyway, right around the January 6th events. Not only did they provide credit card data, but they also provided data on anybody that had made a credit card purchase for a weapon previously to that. And I think it was maybe back a few years, if not maybe 10 years, and I can't remember the specifics on it. But bottom line, Christopher Wray admitted that the FBI had used private companies' data without a warrant to get information on individuals and the fact that they may or may not have been in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and if they'd ever purchased a weapon. And so far, Wray is sticking to the claim that this was in his rights and within the law. And I think there's a lot of questions about that. And of course, the weaponization of information with the FBI and the government. And of course, this is with Bank of America, which they actually responded to the subpoenas from the Oversight Committee. And we don't know how many other companies at this point had provided similar information to the FBI.
And the bottom line here goes in the favor of who, Jimmy, in your opinion?
Well, there's no, it definitely goes in the favor of evil. It is not in the best interest of Americans for the FBI to do blanket warrantless searches through our credit card data
right,
in order to attempt to pin us with a crime when there's been no evidence that we were involved in a crime. So they're doing blanket searches and sweeps. Now, this is not new. We know from Edward Snowden's releases with some of the NSA mass collective data. We know with other instances within the FBI that they've been using this type of mass data collection in order to target people. But what it clearly shows is a disregard for civil liberties and, of course, portions of the Constitution that restrict search and seizure. So it's a question that must be put before the American people. However, many people are unaware of these issues, and the media is not reporting it. And there were actually quite a few things that came out in this testimony yesterday.
Jim, I want you to do me a favor. I'm a little hazy on what we're talking about here. So we know who specifically was in Washington, D.C., according to Bank of America records. It would seem to me that this would probably go in favor of who, in your opinion?
Well, it doesn't really go in favor of anybody. What it shows is that Bank of America was willing to respond to a request, not a warrant, but a request to provide personal information to the FBI to investigate the possibility of crimes.
Yeah.
So basically what was pointed out to, so it's definitely against the American civil liberties.
Of course it is.
But what was pointed out in the congressional testimony was, well, so we had a large number of members of Congress, new members of Congress that were in the city that day. that had flown in and their family members had flown in order to for swearing in ceremonies.
Right.
So, or somehow they swept up, members of Congress or their families swept up in this blanket search. And of course, he wasn't able to clearly articulate that, but basically anybody that flew into Washington, D.C. for any business at that point became potentially a target for the FBI using that mass data in order to specifically target individuals. Now, they used other types of data, your cell phone data. We know that they provided, that many of the cell phone companies provided data based on FBI requests to track people. But again, people that were legitimately involved in protests that are actually guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, the right to assemble, and of course were clearly allowed during the BLM riots and the Antifa riots in the summer of 2000. The FBI was using whatever powers necessary to target and track political enemies that may have questioned the outcome of the 2020 election. So definitely goes against the American people. And unfortunately, it shows a level of abuse of power within Washington. And the actual hubris that somehow they can be doing this and they're justified to be able to do this. And it's, I think we're seeing a step to an authoritarian Orwellian future that many Americans have no idea is happening right now.
Yeah, what I wonder about here is I don't really see the reason for having a blanket search of who was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. I agree that the method is a bit on the Orwellian side.
Well, why would they do it, Al? I mean, here's a question for you. Why would they do that? Why would the FBI, and they did ask that information, and the Bank of America, according to the FBI director, responded.
Yeah.
So why?
They would have to be doing it to determine specifically who the troublemakers were on January 6th. That's the only reason they would want to do that, Jim.
Right. So did they know when they took that information? If you flew into, and this is a very important point, you as an American citizen flew into Washington, D.C. for a meeting.
Right.
And somehow you were swept up in this collection because you used your Bank of America credit card.
Right.
But you had no involvement or you're not there. But somehow the FBI is now investigating you to make sure that, that was not the case. Yet there is no
That was the case.
Exactly.
Right.
So there is no evidence that you were ever involved in a crime, yet the FBI is using blanket information to try to investigate you.
Right. Right.
That is absolutely, in my view, that is Orwellian.
I don't disagree with your statement there, Jimmy. I really don't. Listen, we got about a minute and a half here to wrap up this segment, maybe a minute and 25 seconds. Take it away. I guess what I would like to say is I have some questions, and I want to talk about this just a little bit more in the next segment for maybe, 8.5 minutes so, because this is critical.
Yeah, and there are other issues that came out of this hearing. The fact that the FBI actually reached out to social media companies and censored different American platforms based on Ukrainian intelligence services requests, including a U.S. State Department social media platform. This is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it is to me, too. It is to me, too. Yeah.
And then, of course, the Christopher Wray had said in the past, we'll talk about this in this next segment, that
right.
they had not used Section 702 to target individuals, that's the FISA,
right.
In January 6th, but it turns out they did. We did it yesterday, and other issues.
Jimmy, I hate to cut you off, but I got to do it. We got to break for a real quick commercial. You guys, we're going to be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. In the previous section, Jimmy and I opined on FBI Director Christopher Wray's testimony on Thursday. That would be obviously the 13th of July. Jimmy, can you elaborate on what I just said, please?
Yeah, so we talked in the initial segment here, we talked about the Bank of America issues with the FBI, and we started talking about the Ukrainian request, the SBU, their intelligence service request to the FBI to silence social media sites in the United States and around the world in order to censor them that might have been providing information that they deemed inappropriate.
Jimmy, what type of information would the Ukraine view as being inappropriate?
Well, here's the interesting angle.
Yeah.
So the Ukraine Intelligence Service contacts with the FBI
Okay. Were
also providing information. So this is complicated, but here's what happened. The Ukrainian intelligence, this is when the war kicked off, when the Russians invaded. The Ukrainian Intelligence Service had close ties with Russia and, in fact, had some Russian operatives that were working for the Ukrainian Intelligence Service. That intelligence service were getting Ukrainian or requesting FBI censor and reach out to social media companies to silence information that painted actually Russia in a bad light.
Wait a minute. We're talking about the Ukraine and then we flip over to Russia.
We're talking, again, this is complicated, Al. Listen to me carefully. The Ukrainian intelligence service had been compromised and knowingly was compromised by Russian intelligence operatives
Okay. Working
for Russia at the invasion. But those people within the Ukrainian intelligence service that were connected to Russia were actually asking the FBI to censor, to reach out to social media companies to silence information that might have gone against Russia. Some of it was to go against, that was going against Ukraine, but
right.
Some of it was to go against Russia. And one of those media, social media outlets that the FBI shut down was actually a U.S. State Department Russian language social media site.
Are you kidding me?
No. So this stuff is insane. The FBI is clearly out of control and has no idea how to manage its problems right now with its censorship efforts and then who it's connected to. So they were operating on behalf of a foreign government, no matter what, even if it was just Ukraine. They were operating on the behest of a foreign government in order to silence American social media outlets and Canadian, apparently, as well. So here's our FBI doing the dirty work for other foreign operations. And one of these operations that the FBI shut down was actually a U.S. government website supporting U.S. government interests that was in Russian.
Supporting U.S. government interests where, Jimmy?
It was in Russian language.
Okay, but where?
In Russia. I mean,
okay, it was in Russia.
To see. It's a social media site, so it's on the internet.
Okay, and
so it's not in a specific targeted place, but it's available, and it was a social media site by the State Department in Russian that was supporting U.S. national security interests or U.S. diplomatic interests. And the FBI had it shut down at the request of Ukrainian intelligence services.
Now, that doesn't make sense to me. Why would they do that?
Because they're stupid. Because they were out of control. I mean, this is the problem. Why would they do that? It doesn't make any sense unless they're operating in order to appease people without a good control mechanism. They don't know what they're doing right now. It is very clear the FBI does not know what it's doing, and it's willing to push the limits on information control in order to achieve its own political ends rather than understanding either U.S. law or the limitations it should have with these
yeah.
types of powers.
I want you to elaborate on that, Jimmy, and when I say elaborate, I want to know the reason that you believe that this is a negative thing for the United States.
Well, I mean, okay, so if the U.S. State Department has a social media effort
right.
for U.S. interests,
right.
and our own intel, our own FBI, our own law enforcement agency shuts it down because at the request of a foreign government, how is that good for American policy?
Well, of course it's not. But why would that foreign government be Russia's enemy, Ukraine, as opposed to another government?
Well, according to the information the FBI had, and according to the Congressional Oversight Committee, the FBI knew that the Ukrainian intelligence service had been compromised by Russia intelligence services. So if that is in fact true, they were still responding to the Ukrainian intelligence service that may have been undermining U.S. objectives to support Ukraine in the war. It's complicated, but it's sickening. And it does show a lack of control, a lack of understanding, a lack of intellectual and intelligence rigor.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I know. I agree with you, Jim. I just don't understand the rationale between a sophisticated group of people doing something like that. I don't get it, man. I'm sorry.
Well, why are they going? I mean, why are they doing all the things that they're doing right now? I don't think they're that sophisticated. I think they're being manipulated and maneuvered by external forces. And that's the embarrassing part. That's what's so dangerous to U.S. national security. That's what's so dangerous to the U.S. Constitution, is people inside Washington losing control because of these massive bureaucracies and this overwhelming effort of power that they have.
Okay, I don't disagree with that. But for example, Al, remember your fifth grade grammatics, for God's sakes. In the example that you gave in the prior segment, you were talking about the FBI and the Bank of America. That is very, very dangerous, very, very, very Orwellian, and very, very stupid. I want you to elaborate on that, Jim.
Well, no, that was just, again, this is all consistent with the FBI overreach and the power that they've encompassed, that they've used now, with very limited oversight and unwilling to actually make, to explain themselves. But it looks like they're being manipulated, not just by Ukraine, but also by Russia, based on their own information. And that's what's so sad. To see one of the premier, world's premier law enforcement agencies really crumble this rapidly. And it comes to the fact, I'll be quick here for just a second.
Well, no, we have Jim. We've got to finish this in the next segment. You guys stick around. Time for the top of the hour news.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Top of the hour news is done, and we are now back to KER politics, obviously. In the prior two segments, we discussed shortfalls of the FBI. They go on and on and on. Jimmy's going to elaborate a little bit on this, and I want to stress everything that we talk about on this show, Jimmy can document, and that's very important to realize, particularly in the subject that we're talking about right now. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Well, yeah, I wanted to finish up with what we, how we started with the FBI in the first two segments and a couple other issues that people need to realize. Another problem that came out in these hearings was Christopher Wray had in previous congressional testimony said that they did not use Section 702, basically the FISA approvals, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act approvals, in order to spy on Americans for January 6th issues, because of course that would require warrants and it would have to be justification through the FISA court. Well, apparently in the hearings, it turns out that he was lying, that in fact the FBI had used Section 702 surveillance warrants on individuals involved in January 6th, and he claims that he just didn't know about it at the time. Well, there's two issues that I have with that. If you're either lying and you knew about it, or you didn't, and if you didn't know about it, this is a very senior, significant problem, a very important problem that had been identified from the previous Russia collusion hoax narratives and the FBI abusing its powers with the FISA court. And by not knowing it, you really are not justified in being the director of the FBI. So either incompetence or lying, either one, he should be out. And then the other issues that I think are important that came out of these hearings, Brian Auten, who was the FBI analyst that was involved in helping create the fictitious Russia collusion narrative for the 2016 election that caused America such pain and suffering over 3 years and really undermined the previous administration for the, you know, almost their entire time in office. He was involved directly in helping create the narrative that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. So here's a guy that was actually under investigation, both internally from the FBI and by the Inspector General and by the actual special prosecutor that had been placed by Bill Barr, John Durham, for his involvement in creating a lie, was directly involved in covering up the Hunter Biden laptop and protecting that from the media before the 2020 election. These are very serious problems and shows a reckless nature and political activism by certain senior members within the FBI. And the fact that the director, Christopher Wray, has not handled any of these issues effectively, he needs to go. He absolutely needs to go, in my opinion.
Well, he appears to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but he appears to be helping the president, Joe Biden, with every issue that could hurt Biden, correct?
Yes, he's helping it. And I want people to understand and to remember this. So who recommended Christopher Wray to the job as FBI director? Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, who was pretending to be a loyal Trump supporter, who was giving advice, and he'd been a federal prosecutor, and he had actually and worked for the Department of Justice, he gave this recommendation to Donald Trump. Now, clearly, Chris Christie, who's attacking Trump on the campaign trail right now, set this up as strongly as any previous Democrat administration had done to undermine his political competition. That is, in my view, it is not only backstabbing, but it's corrupt. And that would be consistent with the power plays that went on during his administration in New Jersey and his willingness to suck up to enemies at any time, as he did to Barack Obama. And it really shows the corrupt nature of Washington and how small the world is up there and how limited opportunity there is to get outsiders to break the cycle of the deep state.
Well, from what you're saying and from what you said in the last couple of segments, I would have to agree with you. And it would appear here that what Trump really wants to do is clean out the swamp. Now, I want to bring up one thing, but I'm going to talk about the subject with you off mic and bring it up again in the final segment. I had a lengthy discussion with a very, very savvy follower of U.S. politics yesterday. Her views are very interesting. I'm not going to give any names because that would not be fair, and her views don't really necessarily hurt anybody. So let's go on with this. What we have here is we have a great example of a political opponent of Trump, i.e. Chris Christie, doing everything he can to undermine Trump's efforts. Correct, Jimmy? Correct.
I think they put, again, there's people that support the government, that support the institutions there, but they're based on their self-interest. And Chris Christie's a perfect example of power.
Yeah.
And he would be a dangerous man, in my view, to get anywhere close to the presidency, as bad as pretty much any other character that's out there,
yeah,
from inside the Washington establishment. There needs to be a change. And of course, somebody like, you know, Trump tried, but he didn't have the effectiveness because he was given recommendations for staffing from people that he thought he could trust, like Chris Christie. And it turns out he couldn't. So that's a character judgment issue, and it's a flaw with Donald Trump. But everybody that gets put into these positions in Washington, D.C. faces the same problem. And of course, you know, Joe Biden is facing it dramatically right now with the problems he's having. And I think, you know, one of the other things that we want to talk about here in this segment before we've just got a couple of minutes left, the hearings also yesterday this week were discussing the proximal origins memorandum from the doctors that were involved in saying that the COVID origins were not from a lab, but were actually from natural origins. And this memorandum that came out that Dr. Fauci and others used to justify their protection of the Chinese government to not identify the fact that they had actually created this, you know, somehow in the lab.
Yeah.
Has come in the hearing. It was clear that the people that wrote this document were very connected to Francis Collins, the NIH director, and of course, Anthony Fauci. And Christian Anderson and a couple of other of these doctors actually initially, based on their information, assumed and thought that it was lab created. But then within a very short period of time, published this paper completely discounting that theory. And the absolute damning information that they believed this, but then they were given funding from Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins from the U.S. government, and inside their documentation actually said, hey, look, we don't want we don't make the Chinese look bad. I mean, that's how sad this has become. These people were protecting the Chinese government and protecting their own interests in order to not make themselves look bad for the involvement that they had in potentially creating this virus through U.S. funding and potentially intelligence collection. Very dangerous stuff. A lot of this information is beginning to come out, but once again, the mainstream media is not covering it very well at all.
Well, I'd like to find some hard evidence that that's true, because
I'll just tell you, Al, before you go on, because we're just about a second, the actual hearing, I'm reading this from the hearing transcripts from the Congressional Oversight Committee. So you can go and see that actually from the congressional hearings.
Right, right. And I'd like to start posting some of this material on our website, because I don't really know of any of the sites, Jimmy, that do this. Gotta take another break. It's time for a commercial. You guys will be right back.
KER Politics. This is Jim McKinney with Al, and we're going to finish this last segment up talking about the political dynamics that we're facing right now in America and some of the problems with both Republicans and the Democrats. It looks like that some of the big funders, like Ken Griffin, big corporate rhino donors, people that were very much never Trumpers, that were supporting Ron DeSantis, are beginning to question the funding effort that they put into it. And there was a lot of money put into his campaign early on. And now we're seeing that some of those funders are saying, wait a second, he's losing ground in the polls as they go into into the stronger debate season, kind of the preparatory areas of these campaigns. And what that means is that basically the type of people that are running the DeSantis campaign have not been gaining ground. He's actually losing ground against Donald Trump, and he's losing ground to other candidates like Vivek Ramaswamy. And some of these people are saying, well, now let's go ahead and start throwing money into Tim Scott, the South Carolina senator, conservative black American who is a very good man, and I think he's actually, you know, a very positive guy, but I don't think he's going to be capable of winning the nomination for a lot of reasons. But I just think it's there's too much momentum behind Donald Trump. So that's one of the issues out there, Al, that we're facing. And I think people ought to realize that we are early in the process, because we still have the Department of Justice, as well as Fulton County and Alvin Bragg in New York, attempting to put Trump in jail, though it appears that a lot of that is really backfiring on Trump's popularity.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that, but I want to hear why you say it's backfiring on his popularity.
Yeah, the intent, I think, was to discredit Donald Trump. And, of course, you go back into the 2015, you know, early parts of the 2015 race, certainly heavy in the 2016 race, and then entirely through his campaign, there was significant damage done through the Russian collusion narrative. You know, a lot of people that were just like on the fence, that really didn't care, they were very concerned about the possibility that that Trump was a, you know, that he had these investigations ongoing, and that caused a lot of problems. Now, not because the far left and the Democrats, okay, they were very strong on it, but it's those independents that were like, wow, maybe that's not right, because they only heard the media narrative.
Yeah,
and it had an impact. And so the Russian narrative, but also the Stormy Daniels case and Michael Avenatti, the accusations of infidelity when his wife was pregnant, all those targets, they actually were very specifically geared to certain voter demographics. So that attacked Christian women and suburban women through that Stormy Daniels case. And of course, as you went into the the Ukrainian phone call impeachment narrative, it's just an impeached president. The average news watcher, the people that just, you know, kind of tuned in as they're driving home on the AM radio for a bit, or only hear the Fox News or even the Fox News radio clip or the ABC radio clip or anything on NPR, they think they're educated, but all they heard were the negatives.
Yeah, I agree.
And what you're seeing now is a lot of people are saying, wait a second, a lot of those narratives have been proven wrong. And it's not a lot of people, but it's enough in the middle that is actually changing. And so as the Justice Department and Alvin Bragg in New York has filed these cases, Trump's support did not decline with his base. It actually has increased with his base and been getting a larger portion of independent voters, black voters, Hispanic voters than they had even prior to the 2020 election. And that's being shown across the board in polling. And that is making Democrats very nervous as Joe Biden is getting almost incomprehensible in his speeches and his ridiculous mistakes that he's making out in public. Today, he's leaving Finland. This is Friday. For those, you know, who want to go back and find the video, he was leaving Finland. He's at the airfield, or he's at the airport in Finland, and he reaches over and starts nibbling on some, looks like a 1 or 2 year old little girl. And the mom's smiling, people around her kind of smiling, because they're there with the president of the United States. You know, they're not Republicans or Democrats. They just are there with an American powerful person. And she looks a little bit squeamish, but the girl is really afraid. And it is the most embarrassing thing that I have ever seen a politician do. And when you've got a nickname from your own family in private emails as Pedo Pete, you have to wonder what is going on in this particular scene, Al.
Go to foxnews.com. That's where I saw it. And you know, I think I'm going to post that one on the site, Jim. I'll do that.
It's when you combine that with the absolutely disgusting pictures that Hunter Biden has of his niece, Beau's daughter at 14 years old, with these like literally hundreds of pictures of him with very, very young women, young girls, actually, you know, very young girls. you've got to wonder what's going on behind the scenes when people are going out of the way to protect this family from the levels of corruption. What really is going on underneath? It's disgusting.
Well, I'll put it up. I mean, I'm putting it up because I want people to know that you're not just blowing smoke, Jim. And I know that you're not, but I verify everything that you say, and you're doing a great job. I want to put this video up along with the weekend show on the site. Jamie, what else you want to do? We got about 4 minutes to wrap it up.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, if it were me, if I was the father standing there, I would not have my video camera out taking picture. I might have a video camera taking a picture of it in order to file charges as child abuse.
Yeah.
I would be very, and I don't care who it was. I don't care if it was Donald Trump or anybody. If they reached over to my child and did something like that, it was just, it's just creepy. It's just disturbing. And when you see some of the clips of what Biden has done with little young girls in the White House, I mean, grabbing their hair, sniffing their hair, it's very, very disturbing. And again, many people don't see this because the media won't cover it. If it was the opposite, if it was Donald Trump, it would be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I agree.
Continually.
I agree, Jim. Yeah, I totally agree.
It's just, this is what's so, it's really so disturbing. But what I wanted to end this segment up with is, not only do you have the Democrats concerned about Joe Biden's ability to run, but you're actually having, you're beginning to see problems within the actual campaign effort. They have not fully organized their campaign. And of course, sitting in the Oval Office, they've got the perfect opportunity with the Democratic Party to be well ahead in fundraising and organizational structure. But they do not have good teams out in the battleground states because they have not organized effectively a Biden campaign. And that has a lot to do with the funders and the apprehension about him potentially being the candidate, whether or not he can make it or not. And I think there's, behind the scenes, there has to be a lot of scrambling right now, Al, with who's the person that can step in and make this work.
Right.
Who can we use to manipulate the system and the media in order to protect them? I mean, again, I'm arguing that Gavin Newsom is a candidate for that. The Democrats have shown clearly that they want to control the process. They don't want a democratic process. They don't want a lot of people in a primary process. They're keeping people out, like RFK Jr. and Marianne Williamson or anybody else that might run as a Democrat that would have a good, much better chance. And unfortunately, you're seeing a very disturbing trend that is really taking away voters' choices, and it's being controlled by the media and a very powerful, influential deep state that really wants to keep things the way they are, where they have control.
Jim, I'm 100% with you on that one, and I know that that's why Trump ran and won back in 2015. I'd like to see some of those actions repeated again. You guys, remember, everything we say is documented. I'm going to put up the film provided by Fox News of what Jimmy was just discussing. You guys, we're going to be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.